It seems every Olympics has that one big moment that lives on in American memory. In 2008, it's a narrow victory by Michael Phelps and his teammates in the 4x100 freestyle relay.
He's done it! The U.S. has done it! He did it!
In 1996, it's gymnast Carrie Strug landing her vault with an injured ankle. And then in 1980, there's the U.S. men's hockey team's defeat over the Soviets, the Miracle on Ice.
You believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable!
But in 1968, the moment that sticks out was about a lot more than athletic victory. It was about social change. It comes from two track athletes from San Jose State University. It's the men's 200-meter sprint. Tommy Smith and John Carlos take gold and bronze. While they're up in the medal stand, they make a very public salute to Black Power, a gesture that has immediate consequences for both of them. Today on Bay Curious, we bring you a story about how two local athletes took a stand against institutional racism and discrimination in the U.S. I'm Olivia Allen Price. This year marks the 50th anniversary of Tommy Smith and John Carlos's powerful protest. Devin Kadiyama, the host of the podcast The Bay, recently spoke with KQED's Rachel Miro about it.
You look up the phrase political foment, Devin, in the dictionary, and you find 1968. It was happening on a national level with the assassinations of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert F. Kennedy. It was happening with riots, Vietnam War protests.
This was at the height of the civil rights era. And at the same time all these huge moments in American history were going down, San Jose State University was making a name for itself.
This was the time when San Jose State University was known as Speed City.
Why was it nicknamed Speed City?
It was something that started in the 1940s and was in full swing by the 1960s when Tommy Smith and John Carlos arrived.
We had the fastest people in the world. I mean, you're fast if you went to San Jose State. You had to be.
A lot of the credit goes to this legendary head coach, Lloyd Bud Winter.
Coach Winter teaches, adequate extension must be developed through special exercise.
The way he taught them about stride really just helped take these people who were already incredibly talented and just push it to the next level.
There are so many guys that you can hardly count them.
A lot of the young men at that time talk about coming to the San Jose State campus precisely because they wanted to be on this team of superstars.
But San Jose State was also fighting for its own civil rights along with the national fight. Black students were facing racism and housing discrimination.
Racial discrimination at San Jose State College seemed to center around two major problems. One of them, housing. In this case, discrimination in both on and off campus housing for minority group members.
There was one guy, a fellow athlete, he threw the discus. His name was Harry Edwards.
The 1960s, as I've stated, the period 1963 through 1968 was probably the most violent and deadly political 5 years since 18.
And he started a group called Olympic Project for Human Rights. And originally, that group called for a boycott of the Olympics altogether.
And this call for a boycott put athletes like Tommy Smith and John Carlos in this awkward position.
Your biggest desire was to go to the Olympics. Has it made any difference in your desire?
No, I do have a desire to participate in the 1968 Olympic Games, but I also have a dignity to look up to and look forward to.
The boycott never ended up happening. And so in the fall of 1968, the U.S. team, including Tommy Smith and John Carlos, got on a plane and left for Mexico City, which was going through its own human and civil rights crisis at the time.
They get to Mexico City and the streets are literally being cleaned of blood because there was a massacre. Government troops massacred students protesting that country's authoritative government just before the Olympics.
Wow.
On October 12, 1968, the Olympic torch for the first time reached Latin America, renewing in Mexico City its message to the world, unity of spirit.
There was this very charged atmosphere that these athletes were operating in at home and as they arrived at the Games.
So it's October 16th, 1968, and Tommy Smith and John Carlos are running the 200-meter dash. Smith wins gold, Carlos wins bronze.
Another amazing performance.
What happens after that?
They walk up to receive their medals for the 200-meter dash, wearing black scarves to symbolize lynching, black socks and no shoes to symbolize poverty, and they each wore a black glove from the same set of gloves because Carlos had left his gloves back at the hotel.
That's why they each had one glove.
That's why they each had one glove, and that's why one athlete raised his left arm to the sky. The other athlete raised his right arm to the sky, which is what they did as they bowed their heads.
Do you have any sense if Tommy Smith and John Carlos knew how big of a moment that was in history?
At the time, they've reported that they were terrified, that they were literally praying out of fear that at some point somebody in the audience might pick up a gun and shoot them.
We didn't stand there with disrespect. We stood there to say, hey, man, I'm America. I'm your son. And I'm wounded. I'm not wounded for me because I'm one of your heroes. I'm in the Olympics. But I'm wounded for the race. And I'm not talking about the 200 meters. I'm talking about the human race. That's why we went to Mexico City.
And what happens to them in the days and the weeks that follow?
So a decision is made to send them back to San Jose straight away. Just terminate their participation in the Olympics. They were basically banned from participating in international track and field events. So that was the end of their careers. These are some of the fastest men on earth. They went back, they finished their degrees, but for many, many years, they had trouble landing jobs. There was actually a story I read about Smith working at a car wash. Both men eventually became coaches and educators, but it took them many, many years, and they became heroes much, much later in the national conversation.
Tommy Smith and John Carlos were finally recognized by the Olympics in the 80s after being banned. They were also inducted into the U.S. Track and Field Hall of Fame. Rachel recently attended a 50th anniversary event at San Jose State, where she caught up with Tommy Smith, who's still trying to encourage people to get involved in civil rights.
Young folks out there, don't think just because you can run fast, you're going to make a living off of it. No way. You have to get involved in the systematic structure of America to become viable, living forward, doing something. Don't stop.
So it's been 50 years since Tommy Smith and John Carlos were standing on that podium and raised their fists. And now I know a lot of people are making the comparison to another Bay Area athlete, Colin Kaepernick. Were you able to talk to them at all about that or glean any kind of information about that comparison and whether they felt that was pretty accurate?
If you talk to them and you talk to Dr. Harry Edwards, who's become a celebrated sports sociologist, they see themselves in a long timeline that stretches back far before 1968 and stretches forward to the present day.
There was a first wave of academic activism that was framed up by abject segregation. That was people like Jack Johnson and Joe Lewis and Jesse Owens and Paul Robeson. The second wave was post-World War II, and that struggle was for access. That was Jackie Robinson, Larry Doby, Kenny Washington. The third wave was Muhammad Ali, Smith and Carlos, Bill Russell, Jim Brown at that time, most certainly Arthur Ashe. And then the fourth wave is Kaepernick, and what they're really looking at is power.
And Dr. Harry Edwards says something really interesting. He sees already that, you know, we have a fifth wave of athletic activism in play. And he says that's focused on gender.
It's already happening. We just got to open our eyes to see it. That's what the $5 donated from each WNBA ticket was about. That's what the Me Too movement and its impact did in terms of exposing this sexual assault at the University of Michigan. That's what all of that was about.
I also talked to Wyomia Tyus of the famed Tennessee University Tiger Bells. She wore black shorts throughout the 1968 Olympics. She won an award for the 100-meter women's race, lifted her fist up on that podium, and as she puts it, got no press.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
You know, we were up there, and I had my fist up, too, but nobody printed that. And then I also dedicated my medal from the relay team to Carlos and Tommy, and no one's printed that. But they knew, and other people knew, and I think, you know, in movements, everything don't get printed, but you still have to fight for what you believe in.
Rachel Miro covers Silicon Valley for KQED. Devin Katayama is host of one of my favorite podcasts, The Bay, who produced this episode. The Bay puts out 3 podcast episodes each week, all of them deep dives into what's happening in Bay Area news. If you dug this episode, you should definitely give them a listen. Just search your podcast app for The Bay. Bay Curious is made in San Francisco at KQED. I'm Olivia Allen Price.